C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, October 18th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Millions of Americans have suffered property damage from weather-related and other disasters this year, and while insurance coverage can offset a portion of the costs, some of the remaining expenses can be deducted from income taxes. But that still leaves many with hefty repair bills.
The disaster loss tax rules are some of the most complicated we have, and that's really saying a lot when you're talking about taxes.
Coming up, our tax reporter Laura Saunders will be here to break down the current rules and discuss a proposal that would make it easier to deduct disaster-related expenses. That's after the break.
C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Hurricanes, fires, extreme cold. It seems we've been hearing more this past year about damage to property from disasters. The cost can be enormous, even after insurance kicks in. But there's a measure in Congress that would ease the financial burden not only on property owners in the path of disasters, but some less severe events as well. WSJ tax reporter Laura Saunders has been tracking it, and she joins us now. Laura, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Laura, when we're talking about damage from storms and other disasters, can you give us a snapshot of the kind of money we're talking about? How much damage have these kinds of disasters caused this year?
Well, billions and billions of dollars. According to the NOAA, we've had 18 separate storms or disasters or fires this year that are over $1 billion of each. And the number of these has been rising through the years. I think last year was the most, but we haven't finished this year yet. So it may be on pace to be even more storms and disasters.
So what do tax laws currently allow people to do regarding losses they've incurred from disasters?
The disaster loss tax rules are some of the most complicated we have. And that's really saying a lot when you're talking about taxes, because they're this kind of crazy quilt of things that are enacted at different times for different purposes and different kinds of storms and disasters and things like that. But the short answer to your question is that we don't have a lot of good coverage for disaster tax deductions right now. Because it's very narrow. And lately, Congress has been expanding it every year in response to specific disasters, but they haven't done this for 2021 yet. What's in the tax laws right now? We should say that insurance is always the first line of defense, but deductibles and premiums are going up. And so the tax deductions are a pretty good backstop. And so you can sometimes get a tax deduction for your unreimbursed losses. You can't ever double dip, but you can get a tax deduction for unreimbursed losses. And you have to measure those. And the other problem right now is that there's this limit in place. It's a 10% of AGI limit. So that if you had $200,000 of income, then you couldn't start deducting unreimbursed losses until you got above $20,000. Of unreimbursed losses. So that really, really crimps things for a lot of people who suffer wildfires or floods or things like that.
AGI being adjusted gross income. And I was going to ask you, are there certain kinds of disasters that these rules apply to?
Yes, generally federally declared disasters under current law.
So what is Congress working on that would change the equation?
One thing that they're working on is that they would restore the rules that were in effect before the 2017 tax overhaul, and they would restore them retroactively going back to 2018. And that would help people who just had a one-off disaster, like lightning struck your house, or you had a house fire. Right now, those things are not covered by disaster losses. You have to be part of a federally declared disaster, like a hurricane or a Texas freeze or wildfire or something like that. So that's one thing that would help. The second thing is that they're talking about possibly taking away the 10% of AGI income limit. And there is ample precedent for this because they've done it for several years in a row, but they have to do it again. And you never know if they're going to do it until they have done it.
Now, this past summer, it seemed like there was one storm after another that posed a potential threat or made a direct hit in the U.S. How much is this heightened risk that people are facing behind this effort in Congress?
Well, I think that congressmen are aware of this, and I think that this year there's a fairly good chance that they'll act because the disasters are so widespread. We had freezes in Texas and Oklahoma. We had hurricanes. You know, Ida was both in the Gulf Coast and in the Northeast, and we had California wildfires and really a couple of dozen other things that you don't hear much about, you know, flooding in Tennessee or something like that. So I think that they are becoming aware of this. On the other hand, Congress is negotiating this $3.5 trillion social spending package, and they're having to cut some things. It's not clear what they're going to retain and what they're going to cut. And part of these favorable changes fall inside the package and part of them fall outside the package. So that even if something doesn't happen in that package, it could still happen before the end of the year in another bill. We just don't know.
You know, these proposed changes in Congress could certainly benefit disaster victims. But like you said, they're just proposals. And while insurance coverage is a good first source of funds, what else should disaster victims keep in mind that they can do to stay ahead of the potential financial impact?
The other things are things like if you could get other relief from FEMA, or maybe your employer sometimes provide relief to people, look and see what you can get there. It might reduce tax deductions, but it's probably better relief. I think one important thing to say is that in 2018, the IRS gave taxpayers a gift. It used to be that when you had disaster damage, you had to get complicated appraisals in many cases. And what the IRS said was that you can, in many cases, count the cost to cure, the cost of repairing the damage, as the amount of the loss. Now, you can't replace your frozen bushes with better bushes that are three times as expensive. And if you have a car, you can't replace your Buick with a Lamborghini and have that be tax deductible. You know, there are rules about that. But it does make things a lot simpler for taxpayers. The other thing people can do is look at IRS Publication 547, which is about casualty and disaster losses. You might also consider getting expert help on this because it is a very complicated area. And the first rule always of dealing with the IRS is to keep good records.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal tax reporter Laura Saunders. Laura, thanks for being with us.
And thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.